Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
And that's the sound of rock cracking once again. It's Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. That's WebTalkRadio.net. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. And rocks keep splitting in the field of politics. Wow. Last week, you found out that Hillary Clinton, by her own Democratic friend, Donna Brazile, declared that the Democratic nomination, the Democratic primaries for the nomination for President of the United States of the Democratic Party was rigged. It was seconded by Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren. Many Democrats, especially Bernie Sanders fans and supporters, were flabbergasted, and what they suspected was true. Hillary Clinton rigged the election. Wow. Donald Trump said, is this not illegal? Man, so much to talk about, and I wish I could dig into that, but we had a tragedy last week. A jihadist on mission to kill Americans killed 8 innocent people on a bicycle path in New York City, not far from where the World Trade Center once stood. So we got today, we're going to go to one of the premier experts on Islamic terrorism, and herself, she has been hunted. She's had assassination attempts on her. She has to have security at all times, 24 hours a day, because she has a fatwa against her. She's got a book called Fatwa, Hunted in America. Her name is Pamela Geller. You've seen her on Hannity, seen her on all kind of shows. She'll be on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics in just a few minutes. And we're going to call her up, and we'll get her take on what is going on and why we're having this problem with Islam and the jihadist division of Islam. And what is it in Islam that causes this violence by some who practice the jihadism? I don't know it all. I got some questions for Pamela Geller. I want her to help explain to you her point of view and why she's been hunted and is continually hunted. She's got a fatwa against her. So listen to Pamela Geller here in just a few minutes. And I said that we would have Dan Perkins. We remember last week's show had Dan Perkins talking about ISIS. And we have more of that interview. But because of the terrorism that happened in New York, we're going to speak with Pamela Geller here in a few minutes. And we're going to push the second part of his interview into next week. There's just events that are causing that. And before we get into our phone call with Pamela Geller, let me just remind you that on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, I wish we could cover everything. Go to our Facebook page. We try to put some more things on our Facebook page, Rock Splitting Politics, Dr. Ed Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Go to there on the Facebook page. And again, we don't just try to load it down with things, but we can get some more there that we can't just get on a 30-minute show this week. But it's so important about freedom of speech. And we're going to ask Pamela Geller about freedom of speech. Does she have freedom of speech now? Well, she does, but she got 24-hour guard. So is that, are we really living in a free America anymore? who is willing to stand up for freedom? Well, Pamela Geller is, and she's going to be on. And before we get to that, what happened with Bernie Sanders in the Democratic primary? I just went over it. I'd like to dig more into that. We just won't have time with today's show. And what is happening with Donald Trump in Asia? So there's all kind of things. What I'm telling you is Doc Holliday's rock splitting politics. Just like I said before, if Donald Trump is president of the United States, the rocks keep falling. The rock splitting, draining of the swamp is happening. And that's why you see so many people still going after Donald Trump, unlike they've gone after any president, even Jimmy Carter. Former President Jimmy Carter says nobody has gone under the fire as far as people going after him and the press giving him a bad rap than Donald Trump. Jimmy Carter said that, of all people. So you know, I mean, we know that Donald Trump is really going through a fire, and he is draining the swamp. Sometimes some of us like to see him do it faster. But draining the swamp, getting rid of the old good old boy system where everybody makes money within the system, and Americans on Main Street out here in flyover country are just trying to squeeze by week after week and try to raise their families. And that's why the tax cuts is the other thing we got to talk about. There's a bill out there that the Republicans unleashed or pulled the curtains back on. And I don't like a lot of it. But I'll say this, health care didn't get through. The Republicans have got to start looking at this as a journey. Let's get it started. It cannot be perfect. And a lot of that's because we got such, we barely got a majority in the Senate. And you got to have 60 votes to get anything major through the Senate, except for using a reconciliation bill. We've explained this before, won't do it now. But you got to get started, Republicans. I mean, if you don't get some kind of tax reform passed, don't even come back home for re-election. Just let somebody else run for your seat. That's what I'd say. And what we got to do is get behind the best plan we can get passed and say this is a down payment. This is a journey. We're turning America around. We're moving toward the right. This is the journey for more freedom, more liberty, better economic a better economic system with better tax. Not the best, but better. And let's work toward the best. Keep working toward more freedom, more liberty, more economic freedom for Americans everywhere. So that's what I want you to understand as far as with the tax bill, tax reform. Doc Holliday is for that. Don't know what will finally come through, but we got to step forward with a journey, getting things started, and get the American people to get behind the Republican plan and promise that we will keep the journey moving, pressing forward toward more freedom, more liberty. We move toward the right, and that's what will make America great again. Now, saying that, what do you do after terrorism in New York City? So we go to a specialist on Islam. Let's call her up, Pamela Geller. Let's get her on the phone right now. I want to welcome Pamela Geller to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and we're glad to have you on the show, Pamela.
Thank you for having me.
I had some questions. I know you're one of the experts on what's going on. We see terrorism everywhere, and we have Muslims, jihadists who happen to be Muslim. And what do you see as a way to stop terrorism in America and around the world?
Well, it's a much bigger problem than just the jihad. I mean, yeah, I don't worry about the fanaticism of the enemy. I worry about the confusion on our side. I mean, one only has to look at what's happening in New York, and this is why I wrote my book, Fatwa, Hunted in America. A fatwa, by the way, is a legal ruling under Islam. It's a death sentence is what it is, and I've been the target of many assassination attempts. Thankfully, I'm still here to tell about it. But the point is, I wrote this book to explain why we're losing this war and why things are going to get as bad as they are going to get. If you look, for example, at the Halloween jihadi,
right.
The immediate response in the West, in the elite media and the culture, was NBC News ran a headline, American Muslims fear reprisals. And Jake Tapper said, Allahu Akbar is a beautiful phrase. And MSNBC said, this Islamic attack was anti-Islamic. Mm. This is the problem. After every jihad attack, the real victims, we are told, are Muslims. Oh, yes, we have to fret about, this backlash, which never is non-existent, Islamophobia, which is a term designed to silence any criticism of Islam. It is a Sharia term, and it's been very effective. So after every jihad attack, while the bodies are still warm, we get doses of Sharia under the guise of Islamophobia, and it's so terrible, and, you should love Islam and all this nonsense, and you get dawah. Dawah under Islam is you must proselytize. When you speak of Islam, you must proselytize for it. And that's what we get. Islam is a religion of peace. Allahu Akbar is a celebration of life. Such incredibly ginormous lies, I don't even know where to begin. First of all, Allahu Akbar was Muhammad, the prophet of Islam, Muhammad's jihad war cry. That's what he would scream as he went into battle. I mean, and not only that, but I don't want to get too into the weeds with this thing here, but because there's such a campaign now by ABC and NBC and CNN and New York Times ran not one, but two stories in 2 days on Allahu Akbar, that Muhammad would wait until daybreak to attack a village. And if he heard the Muslim call to prayer, if he heard Allahu Akbar, he would not attack that village. If he didn't hear it, he would attack the village. So you see, even the Muslim call to prayer is actually saying, we are Muslims, do not attack us. Go over to the next town, Muhammad. And so what you don't understand is that when Saifullah, that was the Halloween jihadi, whose name in Arabic, by the way, means sword of Allah. When Saifullah rammed his truck into a special needs school bus, screaming Allahu Akbar, he was emulating the prophet. He was emulating his prophet, not mine. Mm-hmm. He was emulating Muhammad. So, you see, in his mind, that's why he's in the hospital and he's happy and he's bragging. He really believes in what he's doing. This is his belief system. I find ABC, NBC, CNN, the left, and academia more savage and more evil. This is not their belief system. And what they do is they monsterize me and my colleagues and call us, I've been called the country's most notorious racist, Islamophobic, anti-Muslim bigot. Islam is not a race, okay? Yeah. And it is not a phobia to have a rational fear of a worldwide movement that is slaughtering millions and is here.
Well, Pamela, one thing I want to ask you about when you talk about Sharia. Now, Sharia, is there any place for Sharia in the United States? Can you say that Sharia is an attack on the United States Constitution?
Here's what I will say, and I want your listeners to carefully pay attention.
Okay.
Jewish law pertains only to Jews. Canon law pertains only to Christians. Islamic law, Sharia law, asserts its authority over non-Muslims, which is why you see the wholesale slaughter of Christians, for example, in Muslim countries, which is why I live under an American, born in America, 21st century America now, I live under 24-hour death threat with 24-hour security because I violated the Sharia, because I said I am not a Muslim and I will not live under Islamic law. I did hold an art exhibit. I held an art exhibit in Texas. I didn't just pick Texas. I was in Texas because 3 days after Charlie Hebdo, which was a magazine in France, their editorial staff was slaughtered in cold blood, a French Paris Weekly, because of a perceived insult to Islam because they ran a cartoon. Mm-hmm. Muslim leaders in this country held a conference not in support of freedom of speech. Wouldn't that have been a golden moment for American Muslims? No. They held an event in support of the Sharia, in support of the ideology behind the slaughter of writers, cartoonists, and journalists. So I held an event, an art exhibit, showing Muhammad how he was depicted over the past 1,400 years, to show that in art, you know, and literature, to show that people weren't always being killed, that people are being killed today because it's a violent means in which to impose Islamic law on the West. Now, at that event, jihadis, devout Muslims, opened fire and tried to kill us. And if it wasn't for my security team, my SWAT team, I don't know how many Americans would have died. That's in America. And then afterwards, I was blamed the way a rape victim is blamed for wearing a skirt. Okay, that's the low state of freedom of speech and the understanding of freedom of speech is in America. Look, this book, Fatwa, Hunted in America, is my story. How I went from being an apolitical career girl in New York City to being the country's most notorious, quote-unquote, hate queen. Okay?
Right.
But you know what? It may be my story, but I am a proxy in this terrible long war. What has happened to me is what happens in small and large ways to every American that stands in defense of freedom, but they have to. You know, the ringleader of the 9/11 terrorists on Muhammad Atta. Muhammad Atta was the ringleader of the 9/11 jihad attacks. On the plane, he told the passengers, "Stay quiet and you'll be okay. Stay quiet and you'll be all right." And I'm telling you, they are telling us now today, "Stay quiet and you'll be okay." And I'm here to tell you, stay quiet and you will not be okay. Stay quiet and your children's future is finished. Stay quiet is exactly what they need and exactly what they want. Your apathy, your complacency, your empathy. That is what they work on.
Pamela, let me jump right in there. As you were talking about the jihadist wants to stay quiet and you'll be okay. Stay quiet and you'll be okay. That is very disturbing, but more disturbing than that is sometimes what is going on our college campuses. So in just a moment, I want to ask you about free speech and our universities. But before we do that, let me remind our audience, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. We're talking to Pamela Geller. She's a well-known author, but stands up for freedom of speech. And we're glad to have her on this show. Her book is called Fatwa, Hunted in America, and you can get her book at Amazon, other bookstores. You need to read her story, and we're glad to have her here on the show. In just a minute, like I said, I'm going to ask her to talk to us about freedom of speech on college campuses. But let me also remind you, Doc Holliday has some books out, and you can go to our website, www.docholliday.com. That's HOLLIDAY.org. Go there. You can clip on the front page there of our introduction this week right here on our website. And it'll take you right to our home page where you can order the books. And I got a book that's called a book out there right now that I got a chapter in. It's called The Biblical Case for Israel. And it's a good handbook to get you up to date what's going on in Israel now. And I got a chapter on that talking about some Americans who have blessed the country of Israel. Some you've heard of, some you haven't heard of. So go get that book and check it out. You can order it there along with other books like the one I wrote with Dr. Alveda King and Dr. Alex McFarland. And that's called Bedrock Truth. And you can get that book talking about the principles that conservatives need right now to stand strong in America. So go to the website, get those books, and now let's continue our conversation with Pamela Geller. If you say that, Pamela, that's the one thing what we see on the American campuses, the universities, where free speech is being just pushed off the campuses. How do you see the Islamic push for Sharia in America and the leftists, how do they walk hand in hand?
Oh, they do. It's a natural fit. First of all, it's a very quick point. We don't get to speak anymore. We used to. My colleagues and I don't get to speak on college campuses. The one time I was invited a month ago, Free Speech Week in Berkeley, it was canceled. and ironically enough, Free Speech Week. But was most disturbing was seeing hundreds, if not thousands, of millennials marching against the freedom of speech. Mm. That was the poisonous fruit of decades of left-wing inculcation in the public schools. And as to your question about the leftist Islamic alliance, the Red-Green alliance, it's natural. The left is collectivist. It's statist. If it wasn't, you know, if 100 years ago it was communism or it was Stalinism or the National Socialists Workers' Party, which was Nazism. I mean, we're always told that Nazism is far right. That's horse manure.
It was
a hard left ideology. Hitler, read his book, Mein Kampf. He was a vicious Jew hater, but he was a hard leftist. But the left says it was hard right, and so everybody says it's hard right, because they're never challenged. They've owned the information battle space. They've owned every highway in the information battle space. So this marriage between the left and Islam is perfect. They're both statists. They have a common enemy. The common enemy is Americanism. The common enemy is the individual. Look, all my work is based on individual rights, freedom of speech, and equality for all before the law. They are collectivists. They are statists. There is no unique soul under Islam. And so it's a perfect marriage. Now, in the event, God forbid, it shouldn't happen, and I will work till my death that it doesn't, they should prevail. Believe me, they'll go after each other. And don't think for one second the left is not as brutal as the jihadists. I mean, there were 100 million people killed outside of war under communism. So believe me, the left is just as vicious and evil and brutal as the jihadi movement. But the fact is, we're not going to get to that point. But that's what it'll be like. Stalin and Hitler, they were allies too, until they weren't. And so that's the marriage. The marriage is the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And that enemy is freedom and individualism.
See, I appreciate you bringing that out for our listeners, because we've talked about these things. And the question, it just seems so ironic that the left will work with the Islamists. And I always say it's like bringing down Judeo-Christian values.
Of course it is. Listen, there's no better system of control in the world than the Sharia, than Islamic law. It controls every basic aspect of daily human life, from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed. Fills your head with so much stuff, that things that you have to do and what you can't do and what you must do, that you can't even think. And that's really the point. And the left loves nothing better than control of the people. It's natural. It's really very easy to understand.
You make it seem so. That's the answer. Where so many people think, and I have friends who are in the progressives in the Democratic Party, and they would fight you tooth and nail and say they don't believe any of that. And yet,
that's the problem. I mean, reality is an inconvenient thing for them. I understand that. I deal only in facts. You can deny reality, but you cannot deny the consequences of denying reality.
Let me ask you one thing. I know we're getting close to the end here of our interview, but the Ten Commandments, I know in what I've heard, and I'm not an expert in Muslim law, but they say they honored the prophet, and they honored Moses. So where is the Ten Commandments in this, in the slaughter? I mean, is there a place for the asking the Muslim community do you uphold the Ten Commandments? Do you appreciate the Ten Commandments that were given down through Moses?
They uphold the word of the prophet. That's what they uphold. And all this nonsense about Jesus is one of their prophets, it's just not true. I mean, 17 times a day, yes, they mention Jesus, but of course it's abrogated. He was wrong, you know, and he was a Muslim. You know, they consider him a Muslim, and they consider Moses a Muslim too, you know. Everything is abrogated, meaning the later verses of Islam supersede the early ones, because Islam is revealed. It's been revealed. And when there were because in the beginning there were more peaceful verses. And Muhammad was asked about this, and he said that, you know, the later verses abrogates, cancels out anything prior. And, of course, the most violent verses came after. You know, and Islam doesn't even start until Muhammad left Mecca. Really, it's interesting that Islam does not start until his immigration, which is why immigration is such a key component for them to spread Islam and the al-Hijra, which is why you see the migration to Europe. But to your point, they don't believe. I mean, they believe that Judaism and Christianity these are false religions. There is no golden rule under Islam. There is no do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Islam abrogates Christianity. Islam abrogates Judaism. They're false religions, which is why, you know, they took over the Byzantine right. church, the most beautiful church in the world, the Hagia Sophia. They just took it over. But you try and take over a mosque, man, and they will kill you forever and ever. They talk about that dome in Jerusalem. That's on top of the first temple, the first Jewish temple, and right. the second Jewish temple that was ever built. I mean, and they're claiming it as their own. It's vile. And yet everybody sides with the quote-unquote Palestinians. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a Palestinian. That whole narrative is just an anti-Semitic narrative. It's a jihad against the Jews. The hatred of the Jews is the most, for whatever reason, most enmity, according to the Quran, towards the Jews. I guess because they rejected Muhammad. Muhammad went to the rabbis, and he said, I'm a prophet, and they said, we don't believe you. You're not even Jewish, you know. And so he got very, very angry. He got very, very angry with them. I'm being honest. I'm just telling you why this that special, special hatred of the Jews. I mean, it's really, if they kill a Jew, it's like, I killed my Jew. You'll see they yell, I killed my Jew. It's like very, very special. It's like a different kind of, it's like a really exalted kind of slaughter. I think because I guess he felt that he could have had the whole ball of wax if the Jews had just gone along with him. And, you know, when he went into Kaibar, he literally slaughtered an entire tribe of Jews. And he beheaded every man and every young man. He actually would determine if the young men were men by checking for pubic hair. I know it's disgusting, but this is just what he did. And then the women and children were taken as his slaves. And when you hear people say, like you threw the Moses thing at me, you'll also hear people say, oh, well, you know, he had a Jewish wife, you know, Sophia. He had a Jewish wife. Well, let me just tell you something. When he slaughtered that entire tribe, he beheaded Sophia's husband and son and then took her back to his tent and raped her. And if you call that a wife, I call you a savage.
No, I'm glad you brought this out to our listeners. I've heard most of that, but now I know a lot of people haven't, so that's why I'm glad to have you on today. One last question, Pamela. Where are we going? I mean, with a new president and Donald Trump, do we have a chance to stem the tide of terrorism, or are things going to get worse?
Well, where you're going is to the bookstore to get the book, because there's a million things you don't know, and I can't give it to you in 10 minutes. That's the first thing. The second thing is, whatever Trump can or cannot accomplish, Trump tells us one thing, that despite this huge machine, this enormous machine, academia, music, movies, media, the cultural zeitgeist, we elected him. Despite this enormous machine. And that's why in the wake of his presidency, they've come after my websites like mine. They couldn't believe it. How could that be? How did that happen? Whose fault is it? And they're trying to shut us down on social media because that's how we get our message out. I have over a million followers on Facebook, 250,000 on Twitter. You know, they're trying to shut, this is what they do. But that is in and of itself. Is a huge message to people that you see what the individual could do. Now, am I happy with everything he's doing? No. Am I happy that Steve Bannon left? No. Am I happy that Mike Flynn left? No. Am I happy that McMaster is there? No. But he's doing a lot of good things, and I'm not going to make perfect the enemy of the good. I'm going to support him. I'm going to let him know what I think. Mm-hmm. You know, we are his constituency. He cannot abandon us, his constituency. We have to stand behind him. They are on a campaign to destroy this man. If you want to know what they do to people like myself and my peers, he's the big one. He's the Moab. You want to see what they do on a massive scale, what they're doing to President Trump. So we have to have his back. Because remember, I wake up every day, and I thank God that Hillary Clinton is not in the White House. That was a gift from God, brother.
Amen. I believe that was a miracle.
That was a miracle. You see, so every day, there are miracles. So yes, so my answer to my question is, you are the miracle. The answer to your question, is that you are the miracle. Yeah.
Well, Pamela Geller, thank you for coming on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Good luck with your book. I hope it sells millions and we help get the word out. I appreciate you putting your life on the line for freedom in America. Thank you, Pamela Geller.
God bless you, Doc. Thanks.
Well, Pamela Geller is one lady who's not afraid to say what she believes, and I'm glad she had that opportunity right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I appreciate you listening to us. What a fabulous interview, and I'm so glad she agreed to come on and spend some time with the listeners of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Now, let me remind you, we will have a second half of our show about ISIS, what's going on in the Middle East with Dan Perkins, author Dan Perkins. We'll put that on next week's show, as that's what we got planned. You never know what comes up. But we will also have to get into details of the tax reform and also Hillary Clinton and the way she, the way the Clintons are just, is it not just, it's just plain evil, folks. I mean, when the Clintons, there's always dirty shenanigans going on, but now even the Democratic Party, even members in the Democratic National Committee, Donna Brazile, always good friends with the Clintons. I mean, the only thing you can figure is Donna Brazile has said that the Clinton era is over, and she's not afraid to speak out and say that Hillary Clinton colluded with someone with the high-ups in the Democratic National Committee to win and rig the primary so that she wouldn't have any hard way to go against Bernie Sanders. Wow, can you believe what's being brought out? Well, we'll try to touch base on that next week, too. Thank you for listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. Tell your friends and neighbors, send this link out. Everybody needs to hear the message that Pamela Geller gave us today. Great message, and we look forward to next week's show. See you then. God bless you.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Bedrock Truths, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen, or visit docholliday.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.